Let's bow our heads and come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we thank you that we may come before you this morning and come to you in the name of our King, of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we truly rejoice in that wonderful blessing and opportunity we have to call ourselves the people of Jesus Christ, to praise such a good, just, gracious, and loving King. Father, we humble ourselves again this morning as we recognize the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Almighty One, the one who has conquered death, has set us free from sin, has brought in this new kingdom of a totally different nature than all kingdoms in this world, and yes, has converted us, exchanged our heart of stone for a heart of flesh, that we may breathe, that we may worship, that we may live. Father, we thank you for his almighty power. We thank you too for the incredible grace of our King. As we just sang, Father, though our shame and our guilt be great, yet we know that as we turn to you in true humility and repentance, there is forgiveness and there's grace. And we see that so clearly because our King is one who has laid down his life. He is the servant King, one who came to serve and not to be served. And so, Father, we thank you that then, though our guilt and shame may be great, Father, it is washed away in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. For that reason, Father, we then also, again this morning, confess our sins before you. We have not kept your law as you demand. We have done those things which we should have left undone, and we've left undone those things that we should have done. And so, Father, we confess there is no strength in us, but we seek it all in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, as your people, we then also pray that this morning as we gather together, under the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ, you would bless us. Father, grant us hearts and ears that would hear your word, that would understand it and apply it to our lives. Would we see the greatness of our King and trust him all the more? And Father, would you also help us that your kingdom would come more and more, yes, within this world, but first of all, in here, in your church, and individually, Father, in our hearts, that more and more we would bow in every area to our great King. And so to this end, Father, would you bless the reading of your word, bless our worship, that you may receive all the glory, and that truly, Father, our King would be glorified. We pray all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. Let's turn this morning to the Gospel according to John chapter 15. We'll read the verses 1 through 17. Quite a few months ago, but as when we kicked off the home visit season this year, we looked at John 15, at these verses. More so, at that time, verse 5, and the context there, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we looked at what it means to remain in Jesus Christ. And as we'll see, I think as we continue on in these verses, there's much to be learned and gleaned as we start off another year on that theme of remaining in Jesus Christ, of bearing fruit, and many more aspects of the teachings of our Lord in these verses that we may benefit from. And so we'll read John 15, starting at verse 1 on through verse 17. hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. So far, the reading of God's word in preparation for our text. We'll then also now sing from Psalm 80, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. We'll sing of that vine, that is that picture and that imagery found in the Old Testament of how God cultivated and grew and took care of his people. So Psalm 80, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Well, in that psalm, as we just sang, there's that question of how the Lord takes care of his people as that vine that is planted, but how will it bear fruit? Being one of the questions and concerns within the Old Testament of how will Israel finally bring about fruit in that true worship and service of the Lord. And well, our Lord Jesus Christ reveals that to us in this passage, taking up that theme and that imagery of how we will bear fruit and fruit that will last as our theme this morning. And so I'll read with you again those verses, verses 9 through 17. That's really what we're focusing on this morning, the latter half of what we read. And a lot of the themes that are taken up in the first couple of verses continue on then in these verses. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we just read those words of our Lord. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. I think that's a relevant topic at the start of another year. If ever there's a time of year where people in general start to think about and make plans towards growth, self-improvement, or really just fruit, it's now, the beginning of another year. And we also know it's all the time of year where the jokes really are, is like, well, how long is this going to last? Right? How long into the new year will any streak that we want, any habit that we want, any growth that we desire really last? Whether it's the streak to kick those habits that we want to get rid of, or the streak to change, the good changes that we want to take root in our lives. And it's no surprise that, yeah, at this time of year, it's when bookstores will have those books on display, or the internet will feed you resolutions and maybe even tips and tricks and methods and the like for anyone who's brave enough to give it another try. But what you'll notice as you look at almost all of them is that they will kind of naturally put the onus, right, the effort on us. Ourselves. Saying, look, the key is that you find the right motivation, or that you have the right strategy, or that you do it with the right goal in mind. But it all leaves it up to you. You got to find that motivation, you got to find that technique, you got to find that goal in you, because only you can change you. And what this does is that at some point, at least it'll leave us incredibly proud if we're able to make it work, or incredibly deflated when we can't do it, and maybe can't do it again. There's got to be something wrong with me, may I say. So is there another way? One that doesn't lead either to pride or to being deflated? Well, we have Jesus' words on bearing fruit that, not surprisingly, start at a very different point than that we would expect, or that where we generally start. As he points out, that we would bear fruit that would last is really the result not of us focusing on ourselves, but on, first of all, Jesus Christ. And as we do that, then on others. Focusing on the people around us. And that fruit arises not in you finding the motivation and you the means and the goal, but to summarize what Jesus is saying here, to remaining in Him. Embracing who you are in Him. The motivation He grants. The means that He provides and the goal that He even assures and guarantees. So let's look at what Jesus has to say about fruit that will last in these verses. And so the very starting point in this passage is that bearing fruit is Christ-centered. He's the vine, we are the branches. You only bear fruit as you remain in Him. And in these verses, what that means comes in full force in Jesus' continued call to remain in Him. But he works it then in different ways. He makes a number of different points that continually to draw our attention away from ourselves to Him. And first he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. And honestly, those words are worth a sermon on their own. We notice just how packed Jesus' words are in this starting point, right? Because this is Jesus reminding us of just the richness, the glory, the grace of the gospel as our starting point. Now, first of all, Jesus is the beloved Son of God. His Father loves Him. And He says, so He loves us. It is the very love that has set us free, that has saved us from our sin and the devil and death, what made Him lay down His life, as we will talk about later. But notice what this gospel summary does. It draws our attention away from whatever we may think about ourselves or expect of ourselves to consider this morning what Jesus has made clear to us in His life, in His words, in His death, and in His resurrection. That He says, I love you. Not in some sentimental way, not in just, verbally with cheap words, but in the most precious sacrificial way that He will further explain in this passage. And because of His incredible love for us, He says, remain in my love. And here we have the starting point of all that what we'll find Jesus further saying in these verses. And it, at the very least, draws us out of ourselves this morning to consider the love that we are called to remain in or abide in. Right? When we hear that language of remaining or abiding, we can think about how each one of us has that default mode of thinking about our world, about ourselves, about people around us, a default mode of how we comfort ourselves or others. Even a default mode of when we aspire to growth or bearing fruit, we have a default mode about going about it. And by default, all of those, that abiding, that remaining, is going to be self-centered. It's going about you. Yes, even if we are always very, very conscious about what people around us think, it yet all boils down to, yourself. And let's be honest, even this morning, as we think about spiritual growth, we may even, again, be very self-centered about it. That it's about you. It's about you feeling better. It's about you looking better in the eyes of others. It's about you finally being spiritually deeper as you desire to be. That drives our spiritual growth. And yet what Jesus points out for us right away is that it is really impossible to be spiritual, to be truly spiritual and grow spiritually when it all comes down to you. Because you must remain in Him and remain in His love. Let your mode of thinking or of comforting or of aspiring be Christ's love for you. Remain in a love that was not given you because you proved worthy of it. Remain in a love that you did not earn. Remain in a love that's not going to vary based on your, you know, how your past week has gone or whether you have fulfilled that streak or not. Remain in a love that has been given you by grace, freely. When our shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Fruit that will last begins by remaining in the love of Jesus Christ for us. We see next what will follow those who remain in Jesus' love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. What we know from the rest that Jesus has said is that we shouldn't think of it as this is earning his love. So he'll say later, he is the one who chose us. And he is the one who will appoint us for growth. It's all of grace. But notice again how this draws us out of ourselves to consider Jesus Christ. It's another year, and we may have all kinds of wonderful plans and goals and ideas for what the year may bring, or what we would hope to accomplish. Or maybe it's not that clear to you. You don't really know what's going to happen, or even what direction you should go in. Maybe the options and possibilities leave us wondering. And Jesus again draws us out of ourselves and lays it out for us. Obey my commands. And what are these commands? Well, Jesus distills it into, I may say, his favorite command for us. Love each other as I have loved you. And we'll get back to this later on because Jesus will repeat this again in verse 17. But it again sets the contours for what this lasting fruit is about. And it's about not us hitting our goals or accomplishing what the world says we should accomplish, but obeying Jesus Christ. As his disciples, his students, the path for us to follow has been set. It's not up to us to decide. We don't have to figure out it all out or decide what to do. If we want fruit that lasts, Jesus' words make it clear. Obey me. Obey my commands. Obey me as I have obeyed my Father and now grant that obedience to you. Do as I have done and as I have taught you. And I can guess that all of us here, if we are a believer, and we've been following Jesus Christ for some time, we would agree on this point. We know that obedience is required. We know that we should follow Jesus Christ. And we likely also know ourselves that, yeah, this is where we struggle. How can we follow God's commands when we break them regularly? So what do we do with words like this? When Jesus says, obey my commands. And maybe the temptation is to this morning to say, like, yep, okay, I know, it's part of the gospel message. Yep, sure, it's part of Jesus' words. He says it more often, but it's impossible for me, so reduce that to the back of our heads and carry on. Or will you take these words to heart this morning? Will you dare to take these words to heart this morning? Now, truly for us to remain in Christ's love means that not just obeying when it's convenient and when it is not, saying like, well, I'll just rely on God's grace. But to realize that there may be in the year ahead, in the week ahead, at this time in your life, there may be an area where his law and his commands is challenging you, and that is exactly where you may notice his love. That is exactly where you have to hear these words and take them to heart. It's going to be areas in our lives where we do not love one another. Are we not following Jesus Christ? So this is the second thing that Jesus teaches us. Fruit that will last continues with a loving obedience for the commands of Jesus Christ. Don't take obedience serious so that you may earn Christ's love, or that you may be burdened with some heavy duty. Because notice what comes next, right after this. The reason he gives us to pursue his commands, he says, I have told you this, not so that you may earn my love, not so that you may be burdened. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, until this point in the gospel, Jesus hasn't mentioned joy that much, but he'll get back to that, especially in the following chapters, especially contrasting with that sorrow that will come for a while as Jesus is closer and closer to his death, but the joy that will be complete as he rises from the dead. But it makes us reflect as Jesus says this, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Jesus found incredible joy and life in following the instruction and command of his Father. He says they were his bread and drink. They were what has sustained him. They gave him direction. They allowed him to fulfill his mission. They set a divine, or we can say fatherly, authority to all that he was doing. You get a sense of how Jesus was secure in the plan and the law and the commands that his Father had given him. He was on task in them. And he was able to be himself, the Son of God, in them. And Jesus gives us that promise, that this is the way for us to share in his joy. We all realize that there's no better way to find lasting fruit than to actually have joy in it. It's things that we enjoy. We'll just keep coming back to and keep up. And this is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us his commands, as he has told us to remain in his love. He says, I want your joy to be complete. I want you to enter into that kind of joy that I have. Fruit that will last finds joy in following the commands of Jesus Christ. This is then also where we may find, or maybe slowly but surely, maybe more immediately, we feel maybe the weight of the impossible weighing us down, of the obligation just rising. Remaining in Jesus' love is wonderful, but challenging. Saying, yes, we must keep his commandments. We may agree, but again, are we able? And then saying, we got to find joy in it. Yes, that makes sense, but how? And then what do? What may Jesus now say that'll drive us on, spur us on to bear fruit that will last? Well, this is what he says. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Brothers and sisters, you notice how those words of Jesus Christ, when the obligations, maybe the weight, continue to bury us down, when we see only the impossibilities of all that he has just said, he says, by faith, you are friends of the Son of God, our great Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know what you have planned for the year ahead. I don't know what wonderful things, hopefully, Lord willing, will happen to you. Maybe there's a marriage coming up, a graduation, the birth of a child, a promotion, a wonderful holiday, a retirement, whatever it may be. I want you this morning to reflect first and above all on the wealth and the beauty of these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, I call you my friends. And what Jesus means by those words, he makes clear with that comparison to servants. Right? Servants have to obey their master. The master just says, go do this. You got to go do it. They have to follow it. But friends are brought into confidence. They enjoy the trust of the one given instruction. They're given a bigger picture, a rationale, made aware of the thoughts, the insights, what's on the heart of the one who is their master. And we see that reflected in the Bible. Those people that were called friends of God, whether Abraham or Moses, they had exactly this. God confided in them, shared his plans. The exact same point that's made in the psalm that we sang, Psalm 25. His friendship known is to confide in them. And so it is with Jesus' disciples. They are in the know. Jesus is now telling them what will happen and how they will bear fruits. These aren't just bare commands to be fulfilled, but words of privilege and friendship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you start the new year as a friend of our Lord Jesus Christ? Will you embrace all that that means? Remaining in his love, following his commands, to do it with joy and see his joy be complete. And do it all because you've been given the wonderful privilege of knowing his love, his will, his joy, his heart, his sacrifice, and his word for you. And here's where Jesus makes it even more emphatic for all of us and truly lifts us all up. When he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Which first of all is the usual order reversed. You know, disciples would go around and they would pick the rabbi that they wanted to study under. They would choose the teacher. Because they were the ones who were going to give the money or put in the effort of following him. And Jesus says, no, not you. I chose you. Jesus picks his friends. Jesus picks the friends that he will lay down his life for. So you may look at your own life. You may notice, yes, you may have many friends that you say, yes, I picked them. We just clicked and I pursued it and I continue to invest in that relationship. But you may also realize that there's some that, well, I wasn't really looking for it, but they just seem to hone in and saying, we're going to be friends. They saw you out. And Jesus reminds his disciples, look, this is what I've done for you. Jesus reminds us this morning, this is gospel grace. I chose you. And for this reason, he can give them the assurance, he can give us the assurance that he has appointed them to bear fruit that will last. Right? Notice how he says, I have appointed you to bear fruits. He has befriended them, he has appointed them, he makes sure they will bear fruits. He will lay down his life for them, he will give them, he has given them his love, his commands and his joy. And he says, all of it, I will assure and guarantee that it will bear fruit that will last. Notice how challenging these words of Jesus Christ are. To remain in his love, while also so wonderfully comforting. Jesus' sovereign love for us provides us with a whole different view of how and why we will bear fruit that will last. We will because he has appointed us. For that very reason, we have every reason to remain in his love, to keep his commands, to make his joy our own. to realize that in all of these things, as we think about the motivation, as we think about the reason for motivation, the means and the goal, we almost always look to ourselves. And Jesus says this morning, look to me for all of them. Let me draw you out like I did when I made you my friend and when I called you and appointed you that you may bear fruit that will last. And finally, he tells us again that this fruit will be to love each other. That is his command. And that provides us with the contours of what this fruit that will last will be. And following the theme we have been following, it draws us again out of ourselves, I think a challenging and helpful way. A while ago, I was listening to an author recall his days of diving. He was into diving as a sport. And he described you as a perfectionist. And it's a very perfectionistic sport, right? Like you get graded on every dive. And he was often upset or down after every practice. But he had a wise coach and always ask him, did you get better today? Well, generally he struggled to see how his own improvements in practice, practice after practice, and was more obsessed with his shortcomings. So then the coach would also ask him another question. Did you make anyone else better this practice? And that question drew him out of himself. It made him realize that he maybe given some pointers here or there, had an encouragement for his teammates. He could at least say that practice wasn't a waste. He was able to make others better. So the coach pointed out, then it was a good practice. Jesus reminds us of his command, love each other. In the context of bearing fruits, he draws us out of ourselves again and opens up our eyes not only to him, but to the people around us. Maybe we even say that he reverses those coaches' questions. You bear fruit that will last not by focusing on yourself, but by loving each other. Instead of all of us here growing our own separate ways, Jesus calls us to learn to grow by helping others to grow, by loving them. Such a different way of thinking about our growth or bearing fruits, but it's exactly what Jesus has already been teaching us. Think about how he bears fruit in us. It's about his love. As he gave himself up for his friends. And so it is no different for us. And so as we wonder about fruit that will last, our Lord Jesus Christ challenges once again, not only does he draw us out of ourselves to consider him, our Lord, he also draws us out of ourselves to consider the people around us. So ask yourself, of the plans that we make for 2025, how many of them are purposefully about loving the people around us? If you're married, what will you do to love your spouse? As a family, what would you do as parents to love your children? As children, to love your parents or your siblings? What about your friends, your family, your brothers and sisters in church, your neighbors? Will it be something new? Or will it be something that you've already been doing or tried to do, but have lost motivation or love for? Do you know of people around you that may be facing particular challenges that you can love them through and alongside of? The things that you've hesitated to do just because you know it'll cost you. And you hadn't yet considered that what fruit it may bear. Fruit that will last. Well, as we listen to our Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that the key to bearing fruit is not found somewhere in us. He's the vine. We are the branches. It's found in Jesus Christ. His love, his commands, his joy, his sacrifice. It has grown in our attention and love to the people around us. And it's only when we're drawn out of ourselves that Jesus has appointed us to grow. It's exactly in that way we may resemble more and more our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.